And they let him speak. And he said, you know what? I'm the closest landowner to the proposed changes that will include this cross. And I've talked to all the other landowners around this property. And we don't think it's a good idea at all. We think it's the best idea we've ever heard. And if they want to build it to 200 feet, we suggest you let them build it to 400 feet. And there is no other place and no other way that I would want my children to go to sleep than by the light of the cross. That's the nature and the atmosphere that's been set over the northwest corner. That's what we're fighting for and trying to protect and guard. You know, you had asked had we had any contact or tried to make any accommodation with the current landowner. Yes. We had a handshake. And then it was backed out of. And the challenge is this. We're trying to protect him too in this situation. The Lord has some things planned. He would never have 17 ministries end up in conjunction surrounding this property if he didn't. He would never have the tallest cross in North America, much less the three tallest crosses anywhere in the world in this location, if he didn't have a plan. That plan does not include tents next door. There's a significant outlay of cash on this already. And I hate to say it, but you know what? That matters. It really does. Because think of how hard it is for ministries to get business loans. They do things like prevent different types of businesses from being close to schools or being close to churches. And there's a reason for that. It's a different atmosphere. And it impinges upon what we're trying to develop and what we're trying to cast over this city that's going to change this city to make it a city on a hill that's not hiding its light. So I ask you to consider that in the process of this. And you know what? There are a lot of people that can come and speak. There are a lot of people that can come and talk to you about it. But this is a hard issue. And I know I'm a lawyer. I had to lay down the law for grace and do things by my heart just because it's right. So I wanted to share that with you. I wanted to share about Ken and Bonnie Moldenhauer and their investment within the past 6 months because they're in Denver right now. They couldn't be here tonight. But it is a huge investment. And it's been very, very consistent. There's development going on all three of these, or all these properties around here. It's not just three. This is not just a small thing. So, do you have any questions for me? Is there anything I can add at this point?
Mr. Brown, just to make sure that I understood correctly, you're opposed here, aside from alcohol, aside from existing nightly rentals, just with compatibility with your ministry in particular?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And were you opposed to the Little Heroes nightly rental?
I'm not, because of the nature of it was in their deed as being for nonprofit ministries.
Okay.
For Christian faith. And the reason, you know, we can reason and we can work together and we're in partnership together, but we already knew that going in, okay? We knew what specifically that particular thing was for. We knew who was going to be there. We also knew that the kids weren't going to be allowed to run rampant by themselves. They were always going to be supervised, and it was always going to be in a proper way. And the concern is this, is that if we're going with the lowest common denominator of, for instance, having tents, somebody can come and stay an evening in a tent or an hourly wage in a tent and disappear or create issues and they have no investment in the property, you know, and we're in a situation where, again, even if someone stays there to manage the property and develop it, chances are they're not going to interfere with somebody in a substantial way when they need to. That's not the case with Little Heroes Park. Those people are going to be under supervision constantly. And it's going to be Christian groups in all probability that are going to be there the most. So it's a different type of animal. Okay? So it's not apples to apples, it's apples to oranges. And it makes a huge difference in this situation.
Thank you.
Am I next for sure? Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, my name is Roger Recate, founder of Life's Journey in Little Heroes Park, and I just want to thank you guys for all you do and serving, and Scott and Preston, and it's been good working with you guys and everything you've done for us. But I know decisions are not easy to make, so I appreciate your time and effort tonight and for the community. Hopefully, we can all somehow work together for the good. In Amos 3, verse 3, it says, "Can two walk together except that they be agreed?" That's a powerful verse. We had someone working with us at Little Heroes Park, and we didn't agree on things, and it just... I mean, it just didn't work out. So we had to scratch that situation and move on. But I know today, I know in our country, we have opportunities to buy land, freedoms to see what's best for our goals for that land, and an entrepreneurial spirit that's just awesome. One thing I want to share with you though is I'm not sure on all the current or future details of the land. I'm sorry I typed this out, but I didn't want to miss anything. So. I'm not sure on all the current for future details on the land because I apologize, I missed in December. I was in El Salvador on a mission trip, but what we were speaking about, but since it is situated right between three nonprofits, we have a unique situation. In addition, the largest cross in North America, which Carrie mentioned, is a huge blessing to our area, much less our whole country. My thoughts are, by the way, we have international students coming in. We have a person from El Salvador serving at the park starting in a few weeks and be here 6 weeks. So we're trying to bring new people in. And but my thoughts are, if this is eventually approved, that we have almost 87 acres now, Little Heroes Park does, that borders this property, that we should work together. What if the name of the RV park was Mount Zion RV Park? And it had a few restrictions like on our land, a few restrictions to think of, including maybe no bars or alcohol. I don't know what the future vision is once they're approved for the RV. My concern is what's coming next. perhaps no alcohol allowed like we have on our recorded deed for 15 acres of the park, which I'll just read that to you guys real quick. And this is the declaration we recorded on the deeds that no alcohol shall be sold or offered for consumption on any lot in the development. There shall be no smoking or tobacco use allowed. With that being said, we can't control someone in their own house, even if it was at the park. I'll just tell you that. But we wanted to protect the kids the best we could. Here's the upside to working together. The owner could see referrals from all nonprofits, which could help everyone. I just can't imagine if we all work together, if this is approved, that maybe he gets feedback from us. Maybe it's tabled until we can all meet and talk about that. My suggestion, have owner come up with a plan to present to you to take a team approach and to ask each of the closest neighbors attached to the property what would be a benefit working together if you had one for the goals in mind. If I have an idea, maybe I share with him. I know we have trials in this world right now. I know in Israel, there's the Palestinians, and they're right next to each other. And it's been a battle forever. I don't know that it'll get out of control here, but there is concerns in the future as we go forward. And this is a special place in Taney County, in the country, that you guys, this is a big decision for you guys. more challenges could happen than we're unaware of, especially with all the borders within the properties as we grow. Again, I know everyone that owns property wants to do what they want to do with that property, but again, as a board, you have a tough job at times, and this case could affect many generations if decisions are made wrong. Some of the projects we have planned could be stalled or funds raised if we do not have everyone all in due to alcohol or loud parties. Not that they're going to have those, but I don't know their whole vision for this project. But it is more possible with the days we are in. I leave it up to you to consider a more detailed plan to work together, additional options from the owner. We plan on doing a chapel, a gymnasium, possibly a Christian law school, equestrian center, and I appreciate being approved for the cabins and the RVs. We're trying to get people to gift to that, to get a full write-off. That might be an idea for Curtis. And they get to receive half the revenues back. Half of it goes to sustaining funds for the park and international missions. Last few things, consider bringing in outsourcing partners like Neighbors to help invest to make the project go based on the plan. If it's, and I understand what you said earlier, I wasn't aware of that until today, but if you, I kind of believe that based on all the circumstances, we should take a harder look at the situation. I don't think there's an easy answer on this case. It's probably one of the most unusual situations ever in the history of our country to have, like Carrie said, 17 different nonprofits circling this property. Could we find if he doesn't want to do any types of concessions on restrictions or anything like that, could we find him another alternative property so he could sell this one? I don't know. I know that's not your job, but I want you to take into consideration all this. God does have a plan for this property that's way above all of our heads. But I just want you to know I thank you for your time and efforts. And if there is a way for us to work together to postpone this somehow, that's what I'm in for. So thank you, guys. Do you have any questions?
So based on what you just read, are you saying that if he played by your rules and would you still appeal it?
Well, I think if he had a good game plan that everyone agreed to and it wasn't like Carrie's concerns, maybe for tents, you know, if there's first-class RV pads, well, if he's all in for that kind of stuff, and maybe even considering what we did with the alcohol side based on the location, then I would consider being approved. So, okay. If that answers your question,
okay.
For the details,
well, you just commented about sharing the revenue and the rules and the restrictions. So I was just trying to decide if that's what's causing you to speak tonight.
I guess I didn't understand your question.
Well, I was just trying to decide. You said something about sharing the revenue and sharing the rules. And if Curtis agreed to share the revenue and share your rules and restrictions, if you would still be appealing it tonight.
Probably not, but let me clarify this gifting part. So if someone builds a cabin for $150,000, we're still going to own the land. They're going to gift it, get a full write-off, save $50,000 in taxes, and receive half the revenues back. But basically they could use it half the time or receive half the revenues back. The other half is going to go to Life's Journey, our nonprofit at Little Heroes Park. It's going to be used for the park and supporting our youth and to allow military law enforcement firefighter kids to go there for free and then to help international missions. We have a need to raise $500,000 in Africa and Central America right now with the 20 Hope Centers we're working with. So it's like, I guess when we first landed on the moon, it took 10 years to get there, but we're all building our ministries right now together. And my prayer is that we work together. So if there's a plan that can work together, I think we'll solve a lot of problems in the future.
Okay. So, you guys have any questions? Rick?
Thank you, guys.
All right. Is there anybody else that'd like to speak on behalf of this appeal?
My name is Mabe Davidson. Actually, I guess it's listed as Mayburn, M-A-Y-B-U-R-N on the list there. Address is 119 Hunters Glen Road, Walnut Shade. I need to clarify.